The Kingdom of I, Chapter 17, City of Ambition. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. It was late afternoon when the seekers stopped to take in the sight of the expansive city crowding the valley floor below them. It seemed to have no end. Mr. Industrious kept moving and they watched as he quickened his pace heading downhill toward the City of Ambition. He never looked back. "I knew the capital city was large," Rob said, "but I never imagined it to go on and on as far as the eye can see." "The City of Ambition is impressive in its size, but not in its character," a familiar voice spoke. The group turned to find Andrew the Encourager standing nearby. "Most of those who have chosen to live in the City of Ambition have been drawn by a desire for fame, power, or position. The rest just want to be close to those who are powerful or influential," Andrew continued. "We were always taught to respect the high-powered residents of the City of Ambition because of their accomplishments," Rob said. "Are you saying that's wrong?" "Most people in the Kingdom of I do admire the citizens of Ambition, but it is because they have no insight into the true nature of the city," Andrew explained. "Those highly publicized accomplishments of its residents are carefully scripted narratives fed to the media to report. The truth is, it is a wicked city, full of lying, deception, jealousy, backstabbing, and cold-hearted betrayal. Yet it wears a cloak of elegant sophistication and intellectual superiority, which fools a lot of people. Its citizens are highly skilled in the art of manipulation for their own personal advancement. They proudly boast of the town's motto, which is, 'I will achieve my goals at any cost, and no one will get in my way.' You are right, they are an ambitious lot, but I have met a few decent folk from the City of Ambition over the years," Mr. Rich interjected. Andrew turned toward Mr. Rich and narrowed his eyes. "I would hazard a guess those people you are referring to desperately needed something you had. Is that correct?" Andrew asked him. "Yes, you're right," Mr. Rich admitted. "They both wanted something only my business could provide to them at that time." Andrew shrugged. "You will always find them pleasant if they are getting what they want from you." Turning back to the group, Andrew continued his discourse. "As the capital of the Kingdom of I, the City of Ambition is the power center, and political maneuvering is its daily bread. Remember, its citizens have only one goal: to achieve the pinnacle of their personal aspirations, regardless of the cost. Those who rise to the heights of leadership in the capital do so by flattery, scheming, and deception. They hurt many people as they claw their way to the top of the ladder. Their consciences have become so seared that they can lie with a smile on their face and have no sense whatsoever of any wrongdoing. Keep that in mind as you pass through the city." "That sounds like a miserable place. Why would anyone want to live there?" Ben asked. "When you enter the City of Ambition, you will find it possesses a surprising magnetism," Andrew responded. "Though I have told you the truth about the undercurrent of the city, it will not outwardly appear the way I have described it. It will seem like an exciting and even desirable place to live and work. So be careful you're not drawn in by its dynamism, which has snared many." Andrew waved to the group as they began their downhill trek toward the City of Ambition. Stephen once again found himself wishing Andrew would just accompany them all the way to the City of Grace instead of making random, unannounced visits. But then he chided himself for continually wasting his energy on such thoughts. He felt frustrated with Andrew and himself. It didn't take long for the road to wind its way down to the valley floor. The city gates were broad and wide open. The group passed under an imposing stone archway that welcomed visitors to the City of Ambition. There was a definite appeal to the city, Stephen thought. It seemed to him that all the buildings were designed to impress. "Stephen! Stephen!" a man's voice called out. "Is that really you?" Stephen turned in the direction of the voice and saw a man whose face seemed familiar heading his way. "I can't believe my eyes. It really is you. A gray-haired man stepped up and began vigorously pumping Stephen's hand in a hearty handshake. Stephen froze momentarily as he desperately tried to recall the man's name. "I was just telling my wife the other day that we needed to find someone like Stephen to work at our firm. Someone as trustworthy and reliable as you. And here you are. It must be fate." The man was beaming from ear to ear and continued shaking Stephen's hand as he spoke. Stephen remembered the man as a former colleague and friend of his father's in the City of Respectability. Then his name suddenly came to mind. "Hello, Mr. Reputable," Stephen said. "What brings you to the City of Ambition?" "Oh, haven't you heard? I moved here last year and started my own business. I've struggled to find trustworthy personnel, and that is why your name came up in conversation. And here you are. Surely you've come to the City of Ambition looking for opportunity, and I have just the position for you." The man was gushing with enthusiasm and seemed overjoyed to have discovered Stephen within Ambition's city limits. "No, actually, I'm just passing through the city with my friends," Stephen said, motioning to the group. "Nonsense," Mr. Reputable insisted. "Every young man needs an opportunity to get started in his life and career, and I have just the right opportunity for you," he said as he held Stephen's hand in a tight grip. "Let's have a chat over dinner, I suppose, or I assume you have not yet eaten." "It's true, we have not eaten dinner. In fact, we just arrived in the city," Stephen replied, "and we need to find lodging for the night. Please, let me help you with that. Then we can have time this evening to discuss my proposition." Stephen grimaced uncomfortably. The help would be welcome since they did not know the city, but he didn't want to be pressured by his father's old friend. He hesitated before answering. Timothy shot a glance at Stephen. Stephen knew that look. Timothy was wondering if this was a good idea. "That would be helpful, thanks," Stephen mumbled. He turned to the group and could see the questions on their faces. Wanting to reassure them, he said, "I've known this man since I was a child, and he would not steer us wrong. Let's go with him and get settled for the evening." "If you say so," Timothy replied. The group followed Mr. Reputable to a nearby inn. After settling into their rooms, they gathered in the restaurant for dinner. Mr. Reputable sat with Stephen at the end of the table. After regaling the group with a funny story from Stephen's childhood, Mr. Reputable began describing how proud Stephen's father was of his son. "Stephen was the most ethical and faithful young man in the city, and the city fathers wanted to groom him for future leadership and respectability," Mr. Reputable said. "I never heard any such thing," Stephen objected. "It's true, Stephen. That's why my wife and I were saying to one another that you would be the one person we wished we could bring into management position in our company. You can understand why I was so happy when I saw you here in the city. I have learned many things about the character of the citizens of Ambition in my time here, and none of it's good." Mr. Reputable lowered his voice and looked around as if concerned he'd be overheard. "What exactly do you mean?" Timothy asked. "The residents of Ambition are constantly jockeying for position and leverage and will do whatever they deem necessary to get ahead. Hiring a person who has been raised in this city is a risk for any employer. I was naive about that when I opened my business, and I got burned more than once. In the culture of the City of Ambition, people slander others without a twinge of conscience. They seem to specialize in inventing unfounded accusations to damage the reputations of anyone they consider an enemy, whether that's a fellow employee, an employer, or a rival business person. The purpose is to elevate themselves, but it always is at the cost of hurting others. The bottom line is this: they are born liars, and I can't trust them. I desperately need someone like Stephen, trustworthy, faithful, and honest." He turned to Stephen and gazed straight into his eyes. "I have not found anyone of your caliber in this entire city. I am ready to offer you a very good salary to step into a management position right now with a plan to make you a partner in the company. I'm sure your father would be pleased if you accepted this offer. I'll do whatever it takes to get you to stay in the City of Ambition and work with me." Stephen sat there in stunned silence. He was grateful that the waiters had begun delivering food to their table because he could not even begin to respond to all that Mr. Reputable had said. As the meals were being served around him and the group was momentarily distracted, Stephen's thoughts were racing. His father was proud of him? Those were words Stephen never heard at home. The city fathers in respectability wanted to groom him for leadership? That was news to him. He was being offered a future partnership in the man's business? Seemed too good to be true. Stephen wondered if all these statements were lies intended to manipulate him, yet Mr. Reputable seemed so genuine when he spoke. Stephen did not know what to think of this sudden turn of events. Just as they were finishing their dinner, an elegantly dressed young woman entered the restaurant and strolled over to the table where Mr. Reputable was seated. He stood up quickly, grabbed a chair from a nearby table, and wedged it in between himself and Stephen. Stephen tried hard to restrain a gasp. He could hardly believe his eyes. "Hello, Stephen," the smiling young woman purred. "Long time. I'm sure you remember Chloe from your time in grade school together," Mr. Reputable said to Stephen. Yes, of course," Stephen stammered. He was taken aback at the sight of the mature version of his childhood playmate. "She is incredibly beautiful," Stephen thought as she sat down next to him. The freckles and braces he remembered were long gone. He could not take his eyes off the stunning beauty that sat before him. "I was just imploring Stephen to come and work with me in our company," Mr. Reputable said to his daughter. "Oh, yes, do," she said earnestly to Stephen, putting her hand on his shoulder and looking deeply into his eyes. "Daddy hasn't been able to find a faithful person in this whole city." "So he says," Stephen replied quietly, returning the gaze of Chloe's chocolate brown eyes. "And just think, we can pick up our friendship where it left off all those years ago. I was so sad when we moved away from the old neighborhood and I didn't see you anymore," she said, her lips pressed together into a playful pout. Stephen stared at Chloe's flawlessly painted lips and thought how extraordinarily gorgeous she was, even when pouting. "Well, Stephen, what do you say to my offer?" Mr. Reputable asked with a big smile. Stephen looked away from Chloe and realized that the dinner table had become deathly quiet. Was he imagining it, or was everyone holding their breath as they waited his answer? I really can't do that. I'm on a journey with my friends," Stephen answered weakly. "Nonsense, my boy," Mr. Reputable interrupted. "This is an opportunity of a lifetime." Mr. Reputable slapped him on the back with a jovial laugh. "There will always be times for journeys and adventures, but now is the time for decisions about your future. I am quite certain your friends will understand. I will give you the evening to think it over, but I must have an answer in the morning," he said firmly. "I'll return at 8 a.m. for your decision," Mr. Reputable said as he stood to his feet. Chloe stood up. She bent down to whisper in Stephen's ear, "Walk me outside, won't you?" Stephen stood up and walked with Chloe out of the dining room. He was certain the eyes of the group were fixed on him. They walked through the hotel lobby. Chloe stopped and turned to Stephen just as her father exited the front doors of the hotel. He was stunned to see her eyes filling with tears. "Please don't leave, Stephen," she begged. "Stay in Ambition and come to work with my father. I know that this will sound silly to you, but..." She said, hesitating, "but I have dreamed of marrying you since I was a little girl. When I saw you tonight, my heart did cartwheels, and I suddenly wondered if my childhood fantasy might possibly come true. But we'll never know if you leave," she said with tears streaming down her cheeks. Stephen pulled Chloe into his arms. He wanted to comfort her, but he didn't know what to say. Could her words even be true? Maybe her father had put her up to this. Despite these thoughts swirling through his mind, the sweetness of her perfume and the warmth of her hug engulfed him and took his breath away. He had a crush on Chloe when they were kids, but this was so unexpected. The truth was, he had not thought about her in years. But now, this grown-up, beautiful Chloe was telling him she dreamed of marriage and was crying on his shoulder. Stephen released Chloe from his embrace and stepped back. I really need to think about your father's offer. I'll talk to him in the morning. Good night, Chloe." Though he was sorely tempted to linger and dry Chloe's tears, Stephen forced himself to turn and walk away. As he walked back into the restaurant, he could feel the eyes of his friends upon him once again. No one spoke as he sat down. After a few minutes, Mr. Rich broke the silence. "That is quite the offer Mr. Reputable made to you, Stephen. In another lifetime, I would have encouraged you to accept it." "Yeah, back in the city of Mammon, they would call that scoring the gold and the girl," Thomas said, chuckling. Ray whistled. "And she sure is a beautiful girl." Timothy stared at Stephen. "You are not seriously thinking of..." Before Timothy could finish his sentence, Stephen turned to Mr. Rich and asked, "What did you mean when you said in another lifetime you would have encouraged me to accept the offer?" "I simply meant that in the past, when I viewed money and status as all important, I would have told you it was a great opportunity. But now that we have all come to realize there's something more valuable to be found in the kingdom of I, such an offer has little value," Mr. Rich replied. Stephen sat back in his chair. Once again, Mr. Rich had amazed him. Those were words he could have used to plead with Blake when he was being tempted to stay in the city of success, if he thought even for a moment that Blake would have listened. Now he was battling his own temptations, and he was not ready to answer Timothy's question. One by one, the group excused themselves and retired to their rooms. Only Stephen and Timothy remained at the table. After a few minutes of awkward silence, Timothy spoke again. "Tell me you are not seriously thinking of quitting our journey." "I am not," Stephen said, holding his head in his hands. "But what I can't get over is how seriously tempted I felt this whole evening. I've been so determined to get to the kingdom of I am, so how is it possible that I feel so tempted to abandon the journey? Yet when I think about what my father would say if he heard about this incredible offer of partnership in Mr. Reputable's business, this intense longing to make him feel proud of me rises up and clouds my mind. Then, if I think about Chloe, it gets even worse. I literally feel sick, and I can hardly fight it off." "Okay, now I understand what's going on," said Timothy. "I am not leaving you alone with your thoughts. You need to come and stay in my room tonight. We can review everything Andrew has told us. I'll read from the King's book, and we will get past this together. You know Mr. Reputable's coming back in the morning for my answer. I need to be ready to face that," Stephen said, feeling distressed at the very thought of it. "I know. You'll be ready." Timothy stayed up half the night reading aloud from the King's book to Stephen until they both fell asleep exhausted. When the early morning sunlight streaming through the window awakened him, he got up and shook Stephen. "Wake up! It's almost 7 and Mr. Reputable will be here in an hour," Timothy said. Stephen sat up and rubbed his eyes. He was smiling. Timothy looked at him sideways. "What's up with you? You're smiling." Stephen laughed. "Yes, I am smiling. I had an incredible dream, and I am more than ready to face Mr. Reputable." "And Chloe?" Tim asked him. "And Chloe, too. Tell me about your dream." "It was a simple dream, but it impacted me deeply. I saw the king on his throne, and he was speaking to me. He said, 'Stephen, there is nothing in the kingdom of I that will satisfy your heart, but great joy awaits you in the city of grace. I am waiting for you.' Then I woke up with such an intense surge of joy, I feel like I could run to the city of grace." Stephen leaned his head back on his pillow, closed his eyes, and smiled. "Well, I'm glad to hear it, but we need to get moving and have breakfast before Mr. Reputable shows up," Timothy said as he threw a pillow at the reclining figure of Stephen, landing it squarely on his head. Stephen laughed as he launched the pillow back at Timothy, saying, all right, no need to get testy about it." 20 minutes later, the two young men walked into the restaurant and found the rest of their group already partaking of the generous breakfast buffet. "Food's great," Ray called out as he chowed down on some blueberry muffins. "What are you going to tell Mr. Reputable when he comes to get his answer this morning?" asked Thomas, gazing somberly at Stephen between bites of muffin. I'm going to tell him I have a better offer from a king. Stephen smiled broadly. Oh, that is great, Thomas said, looking relieved. Were you worried? Stephen asked him with a grin. Maybe a little, Thomas admitted. Me too, said David. That was a tempting offer, and a beautiful girl to go with it. All true, but don't worry. I am not heading anywhere right now except toward the City of Grace, Stephen reassured them. I think we are all quite pleased to hear that, Mr. Rich said. Pleased to hear what? Boomed a voice from across the room. He's early, Timothy said quietly to Stephen. Stephen looked up to spy Mr. Reputable walking into the restaurant with Chloe. I hope it is something I'll be pleased to hear as well, beamed Mr. Reputable. Good morning to you all. Beautiful day. Stephen stood up to greet them, reaching out to shake Mr. Reputable's hand. Why don't we sit over at this table, Stephen said, motioning toward a small table tucked into a corner. Mr. Reputable, Chloe, and Stephen sat down. I hope you're ready to give me some good news, Mr. Reputable said, still beaming with his big smile. Stephen cleared his throat and said, I'm afraid it is not what you are hoping for, sir. I cannot stay in the City of Ambition. I am on an important journey to the City of Grace, and I cannot be deterred from it. Though I must say that your offer was extremely generous, and I'm honored that you thought of me. Mr. Reputable was obviously stunned. His face looked frozen for a moment and as he said nothing. Chloe burst into tears. Mr. Reputable put his hand on her arm as if to quiet her. I can't imagine that a young man like yourself would turn down such an outstanding opportunity. I believe your father will be quite disappointed. He stared at Stephen. What has happened to you? You are clearly not the same Stephen I knew in the City of Respectability. What is this nonsense about the City of Grace? Stephen looked at Mr. Reputable and wondered if he really wanted an answer to those questions or he was just thinking aloud. Before he could offer a response, Mr. Reputable stood up. Come, Chloe, our business here is finished, he said curtly. Stephen stood up. He watched as Mr. Reputable turned and walked away with Chloe, who was still sniffling. His eyes followed the two as they exited the doors of the restaurant. Stephen noticed that Chloe did not look back. He exhaled deeply, glad the conversation with Mr. Reputable was over. He was also pleasantly surprised that Chloe's tears hadn't moved him in the least. Stephen rejoined his friends at the other table and sat down. The table was quiet except for the clatter of silverware on plates as the group finished their breakfast. Stephen felt relieved and at peace with his decision. He was reaching for a muffin when he heard the unmistakable voice of Andrew the Encourager. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? You have done well to overcome the temptations of the City of Ambition, Stephen, Andrew said as he took an empty seat at the table. The group greeted Andrew warmly. Stephen smiled sheepishly as he answered the Encourager, I didn't conquer those temptations by myself. The truth is, the king helped me. He encouraged me in a dream last night. I was so tempted to quit my journey to the City of Grace, but that dream gave me the strength I needed to turn down Mr. Reputable's offer to stay here in Ambition. You also gain strength from listening to the words found in the king's book, Andrew said. Turning to Timothy, Andrew added, you showed great wisdom by encouraging Stephen in that way. You are absolutely right, Andrew. I was a basket case last night, and Timothy helped me so much, Stephen acknowledged. He turned to his friend and said, thank you. You really did save the day. Timothy smiled and said, I'm just glad it helped keep us all on the same road. Speaking of the road, where are we headed next, Andrew? Ray asked. The next place you will encounter is called Natureville. It is about 2 hours from here. It is not densely populated like Ambition or Success City, but it is expansive and will take a while to pass through, Andrew told them. What kind of a city is Natureville? Thomas asked. It is a beautiful place, not because of the buildings or the people, but because of its sprawling landscape of lush green hills, crystal clear rivers, and a multitude of lakes. In fact, It is the greenest township in the Kingdom of Ai because its citizens are constantly planting trees. It has areas of thick forests, but also many orchards and vineyards covering the hillsides as far as the eye can see. That sounds lovely, Mary said. There is no denying its natural beauty, but there are some things I need to warn you about as you travel through Natureville, Andrew said. What could possibly be dangerous in such a place? It sounds so beautiful and peaceful, Thomas asked. The citizens of Natureville love nature more than people. Not only do they love plants and trees, many of them worship animals. So they allow wild animals to roam freely and will never kill one, even if it has attacked people in the past, Andrew explained. Mary's eyes widened. Wild animals? Why would they allow that? The animals were here first, is how a citizen of Natureville would answer your question, Andrew answered. How can we pass through there safely? Maybe we should take a different route, Mary suggested, biting her lip. As long as you stay on the main road, you will not have a problem with the wild animals. The forested areas of Natureville are their habitat. Just remember, the residents of Natureville are worshippers of animals and plants, so don't be surprised when you find they have little concern for people, Andrew replied. The appeal of Natureville is its incredible beauty. You can appreciate and even enjoy it, but don't let it stop you from completing your journey to the City of Grace. Remember, you are on your way to meet the creator of all that beauty. Don't settle for the creation. What cities will we come across after Natureville? Timothy asked. After leaving Natureville, you will find yourself approaching the Valley of Misery, but I will meet you before you get there and give you instructions that will help you. But now you need to get on your way, Andrew told them. The group stood up and gathered their belongings. Within a few minutes, they were on the road, headed for Natureville.